Morning. It's good to have all of you here this morning. I want to tell you something. After the anchor holes and Amazing Grace, I'm just a mess. I'm an absolute mess. And so let me just quantify something here. I'm probably going to be kind of snorting around through the whole thing. I've taken everything I can take. If I take anything stronger, I won't even know what my name is. Just bear with me. I've done what I can do. I'm grateful I have a voice this morning. And so if you'll just pray for me for that I've got two more services after this and I can get through that. Also, you notice we are having the groundbreaking this afternoon at 5 o'clock. It's going to be right out here. And you're certainly invited. Love to have you to come. And we're just going to thank the Lord and for what we've got in front of us and the opportunity to build this building for kids and generations to come. And so I invite you to come and be a part of that. That'll be at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're planning for about a 30-minute time, and Lord willing, probably won't take that long. And so it's not going to be a long, drawn-out, protracted time. But we do want to give the Lord thanks and invite him to be part of the process, and as well as let our city know what we're doing. And so thank you for remembering that, if you will. I want us to look this morning at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you haven't already gotten there, you can turn and look at God's Word. We're in this series about anxiety-free living. We're going to talk about this morning from God's Word, how do I go about living by grace? You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 122 in verse 1, I was glad, I was what? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. I hope that's how you feel when you come here. That has been my journey all these years, is that when you come here, you can leave saying, I'm glad I came. This was a positive thing. This was really good. Because the psalmist didn't say, I was sad. He didn't say, I was mad. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And so what God is saying, if I understand it right, is that worshiping him and being in the Word should be a powerful, life-changing experience for us. It ought to be something that ought to lift us up and help us to get over the week we just came through and look forward to the week that is ahead of us. And so that's what I want to do this morning. So how do I live by grace? Well, let's read this passage from God's Word. And the Lord said to me, Paul said, this is what God said to him. This is what the Lord said to him, Lord Jesus. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Why? Because power is perfected in weakness. And that's a mouthful right there. That's part of the key to what we're going to. Power is perfected in what? Weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses. That is a huge statement. With insults, distresses, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to look at God's Word about how you and I break free from anxiety and fear and worry. Not only life, but especially during the holiday time, because Thanksgiving, you know, launches us into the holiday season, and of course, then it basically ends at Christmas. But the thing is, the holiday season is for a lot of people a protracted period of stress. It gets more difficult for them. It's a period of anxiety for a lot of people, maybe even for you and me. And here's what I want you to understand. Christmas and Thanksgiving, no matter what Hallmark movies tell you, is not magical. There's nothing magical about Christmas. Miraculous, yes, but not magical, right? There's nothing magical about it. And so it is foolish for me and you to try to make life, particularly during the holiday season, easier. Why do we think it's going to be easier when we pile our lives up with so much more to do during the holiday season than at any other time? And so if you're anxious and stressed and worried over life, here's God's word. You just maybe write this down somewhere. I can't remember if I put it in your Life Point outline or not. Oh, by the way, if you're new here, inside your study bulletin is Life Point outline, right? Everybody got theirs? All right, so Matthew 11:28, now this is from The Message, and so it's going to read a little bit different. Matthew 11:28, this is what Jesus said. He said, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest." And then he says this, "Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." Now, I want you to listen to those last words. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And so here's that first truth I want you to notice in your outline. You and I can find rest in the grace of God, in God's grace in our life. And so we all need to learn how to rehearse and rest in the grace of God. So how are we going to do it? Well, number one in your Life Point outline, I want to talk about, first of all, the physical side of anxiety and depression. All right, I just want to point that up. Somebody really needs, either listening on TV or watching on the internet, or listening here this morning, these three services, really needs to listen to the next statement that I'm going to make. And I want you to just perk up your ears. Because I believe for some people, it is a pathway out of anxiety and depression for a lot of people. And here's what I want you to hear and I want you to understand. There is a definite physiological side to depression and anxiety. There is a physiological side to that. And here's the truth in your outline. Depression and emotional distress can be caused by a chemical imbalance that requires medication. So let me say that again. Depression and emotional distress can be caused by a chemical imbalance in my body, in your body, that requires medication. You see, one of the things God teaches in the Word is we live in a broken world. Would you agree with that? That's what God says, whether we agree with it or not. We live in a broken world. I have a broken body. As much as I try to pass it off as being doing all right, you know, at where I am in life, I have a broken body. It's got problems with it that a lot of them I can't overcome. And sometimes the brokenness in my body or in your body can cause chemical imbalances in the brain that cause depression and anxiety and other issues. And so here's what I want you to understand. The last emotion that you and I as God's kids ought to have is guilt for taking medication. And yet that is a common issue among God's people. They feel like, I'm just not what I ought to be. I'm not a child of God like I ought to be. If I trusted the Lord, I wouldn't have to be on medication. Listen to me. You cannot pray your way. You cannot read the Bible enough. You cannot sing enough to change anything in your life until you deal with the issue of a broken body. Does that make sense? Okay? And so don't let that guilt be on top of you. Well, I just need to read the Bible more. I just need to pray more. You know, I need to trust more. I'm not saying those are not important, but when I have got a broken body issue that my body just doesn't work right, just the same as like diabetes or whatever. If you're diabetic, you have to take insulin. Would you agree with that? Of course you do. Should a diabetic feel guilty because they have to take a shot in order to keep living? No. You praise God for that shot, right? Hello? Yes. Lord, thank you for that. It's no guilt required. It doesn't mean I don't have faith. It means I have a broken body, and by the grace of God, I live in a country where I can have something that helps me have somewhat of a normal life. And so there are physiological issues that bring on stress responses in my body, and there are chemical issues, and I cannot ignore them. However, that being said, there is also a spiritual side. And maybe this morning, your battle with depression and anxiety, especially during the holiday season, is not chemical, it's not physical, but it's spiritual. And so let me just kind of talk about the rest of the service this morning on that. Because if it's the first part, you need to see a physician. If it's the second part, then I've got a word here that I want to give you. All right, so number two, God's antidote to anxiety. What does the Father say about that? Well, here's the insight in your outline. God's antidote to anxiety is grace. The grace of God. Now, I want to tell you something. I have battled anxiety because I don't like my life to be out of kilter. You know, I like all those T's crossed and those I's dotted and, you know, and all that. And I like, you know, just everything right. And I like everybody happy. And in 47 years, well, actually 69 years of my life, that has never happened. You'd think by now, you know, there's a pattern here, you know, that you would pick it up. So what I want to do this morning, because I learned this and then I've got to relearn it all over again every time as I go through some situations. But I tell you, by the grace of God, it is better. So what I want to do this morning is I want to take the truths here in it, by using the word grace, and I want to make it into an acrostic, if you will. And this is what has helped me. And God just kind of brought me back to this again, all right? And so I hope that this will help you. And so let's just do that. So I'm going to take the word grace, and we're going to take five steps, all right? Number one, if I want to walk in the grace of God, I need to give up trying to control my life. The G stands for give up trying to control my life. Now, if I could give you an image, I want to try to give you an image. I don't have physical things up here this morning, but if I did, the image that I want you to think about on this is like a steering wheel. If I could have a car steering wheel up here, that would be what I would want you to think about. When you think about giving up trying to control your life, you see, a lot of us try to get a grip on our life like we get a grip on the steering wheel. I've watched some people drive. You know, you see some people pass you on the road, or you're riding alongside of them, you know, in a double lane and everything, and you'll see them up there, and they're at 10 and 2. And I mean, not only are they at 10 and 2, they have got a death grip. You can tell it's a death grip because their knuckles are white. And I'm like, we're not in bad traffic. Why are you gripping that steering wheel so hard? And it's like, you know, like that. All right, and so that's what I want you to think about. We think that if we can hold our life tight enough, if I can hold my relationship with Catherine tight enough, if I can hold on my relationship with the kids tight enough, if I can hold on my walk with this church tight enough, I can control it. That is an illusion, all right? You with me? Amen. You're saying amen, and you think, oh, God, that's so much like me. You know, and I understand that. And we think if we can hold our life tight enough, we can control our life. We imagine that I can control my relationship wheel. I can control my career wheel, my spouse wheel, my child wheel. You know, and if I can do that, then I'll have less trouble because I'm controlling everything. Here's a problem in your outline. Most of life is out of our control. I could probably say all of life is out of our control. Gripping the steering wheel of life real tight produces only one thing. It doesn't produce control, it produces stress. When you just got a death grip on everything. Trying to control other people, trying to control our family, trying to control your work environment is like herding ducks. It's like trying to stack grease BBs. You cannot do it. It is impossible. So look at your outline. Here's the question. What is it called when I try to control the people in my life? It's called playing God. It's called playing God. And here's the truth. The root of anxiety is trying to play God and control everything. That's at the root. That's at the heart of anxiety. Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know what? That I am God. And so God says, what I want you to do is I want you to let go of the steering wheel of life long enough to realize I'm God and you are not me. You cannot control your life. You cannot control your wife. You can't control your husband. You can't control your kids. You cannot do it. I love the Christian comedian Bill Butterworth just makes me laugh. He is as funny as he can be. Bill Butterworth wrote a book. I don't have it, but I read about the book. And it's got a great title. You ready for the title? Here's the title. I got my life together, but it fell apart before I could show my friends. Isn't that a great title? And you're just like, yep, that's right. That's me right there. You know, I got my life together, but it fell apart before I could show anybody. It just doesn't last, and it's all over. And so the truth is that none of us can get total control of our lives. And anytime I think I'm controlling my life, or I'm controlling my wife, or my kids, or I'm controlling this church, that is an illusion. It's an illusion. It's a what? Illusion. It's an illusion. You are not in control. And so here's the truth in your outline. Grace means I place my life under God's control, and that's where I find rest. I find rest by him. And what I mean by that, I cannot control, I cannot get my life or anybody else's under my control. But I can get my life under control. And I can get my life under control when I give control of my life to him. And I say, it's yours. I'm gonna trust you with this. And so if you're anxious and worried and depressed, God is saying, listen to your body. Your body is telling you you're trying to control something in your life that you were never meant to control. That's why you're so stressed. You are trying to do the impossible. So what or who are you trying to control this morning? What problems are you trying to control? What other people, your image, your spouse, your kids? And so here's something I give you in your outline. It's not a truth, it's just there. The answer to your stress and anxiety and depression is yield your life to God's control. You say, Father, it's yours. And so the G in grace means I give up control of my life. If I want to let go of anxiety, number one, I give up control of my life to God. Then number two, I rest in his approval. I rest in the approval of God. Now, if I could give you an image to hang on to, it would be a pillow, okay? And so you just kind of, you know, lay your pillow, your head on the pillow, you all right? And so if I need to rest in God's approval. And so if I am anxious in my life, a lot of times, one of the reasons I'm anxious, if you're anxious, it's because you have forgotten a very important truth from Scripture. And that is that because of Jesus Christ, God is at peace with you and he loves you. And God approves of you. God approves you. That doesn't mean you're batting 1,000, but it means because of Christ, God approves of you. He looks upon you and he smiles. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And so, see, I get into the family of God by grace. I get into heaven by grace. I am not saved by the Ten Commandments. Aren't you glad? Because I've broken every one of them suckers again and again and again. I break them. I do not get in heaven by following church rules. I don't get into heaven by rituals. The Lord's Supper, baptism, you know, coming to church or whatever. Remember, the Bible teaches that you and I are going to heaven if we're going to heaven because of the provision of God in Jesus Christ, not our performance. I'm going to heaven because of the provision of God, not my performance. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world, you and me, to himself. Everything that I have going for me in the presence of God is because of Christ. It is not because of me. Amen. And I need to be reminded of that. The truth in your outline, salvation is by grace through faith, not works. Now, if I am saved by grace, and I am, How do I live day to day? If I'm saved for eternity by grace, how do I live day to day? And that's important. Ephesians 2 and 9 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. So how I came into the kingdom is how I live for him in the kingdom. I came in by grace. I do not live the Christian life by works. I live the Christian life by grace. People will think, well, you know, God saves me by grace. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But afterwards, don't I have to gain the approval of God by how I live my life? And the answer is no. Now, I do not get rewards in heaven by grace. And some of you are saying, well, I'm looking forward to the rewards God's going to give me. You understand one thing? Rewards are earned. You earn rewards. Rewards are not by grace. But I get to heaven by grace. I get there by grace. That's a gift. But what I earn is based upon my performance. But my entrance to heaven, the love of God, are by the grace of God because of the provision of God in Jesus Christ. And so everything in my relationship with the Father is a gift of his grace. I never earn what God gives me in this life. So look at the truth in your outline. This is a long one. The Christian life is a matter of grace, and every blessing God gives is by grace. God wants me to obey him, not to gain his approval, but because I love him, and out of gratitude, I want to follow him. I am here, you are here to serve the Lord. Listen, I am here to serve him. Now listen, I am not an employee. I am here to serve God, but I am not to God a what? Employee. I am not an employee, and that is important. An employee is accepted and appreciated based upon his workmanship, but a child is accepted and appreciated based upon his relationship. I serve him as a son to a father. He is my father. I am not a hired hand, and neither are you. We are his kids. An employee is accepted based upon the good work he's done. A child is accepted and loved based upon who he is. And God may say, your performance is unacceptable, and I'm going to wear you out. But it doesn't mean I'm going to kick you out of the family. But I'm going to wear you out. I'm going to discipline you. Why? Because you're a son. You're a daughter. And your performance is unacceptable. I will not fire you. I will not kick you out. I will not bar you from heaven. But I'm going to discipline you because I am your dad. And my goal is to raise you up that by the time you get here, you're going to be a whole lot better looking than you are right now. Isn't that good news? Amen. And that's what the Father does for us. So this Thanksgiving and Christmas, remember Matthew 11, 28. Let me give it to you again, the message. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me. Take a real rest. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You see, I can lay my head today on the pillow of the approval of my Father, and I can rest emotionally because God loves me and he accepts me as a child and not a servant who continuously has to perform. And so that's how I get my grace. That's how I get life. So the first thing I do is I give up trying to control my life, and then I need to rest in the approval of God. My Father loves me. And I can't earn his love. I just walk in it and glory in it. And then the A is I accept his power. I accept the power of God. And if I could give you an image, it would be like if I could have it up here with a handle on it, it would be a car battery. All right? Be like a car battery. And I just want you to think about that. A major cause of anxiety and depression is a sense of powerlessness in our life. I'm powerless. I'm powerless to change my spouse. I'm powerless to change my child. I'm powerless to change this situation. And the truth in your outline, when you feel powerless, you get anxious, right? You get anxious. Why? Because you're trying to control something that you have no ability to control. You're trying to control a wife or the marriage situation or work or people, and you can't. You can't. Why? Because you're powerless. You can't do that. And when you sense your powerlessness, what God says, I want you to do, he says, I want you to unplug from yourself, and I want you to plug into me. I want you to plug your life into me. So the truth in your outline, it is not willpower, it is God's power that answers the challenges of my life and of my days. And I put down here Galatians 3 and 3. You began your life in Christ by the Spirit. Now are you trying to make it complete by your own power? That is foolish. See, when I try to have the challenge, when I try to have the a handle on the challenges of my life, my strength is just incapable. Willpower is deficient. Why? Because my body is unrelentingly broken. It never changes. I was broken yesterday. I'm broken today. I will be broken tomorrow. My wife is broken. My kids are broken. I've got a church full of broken people. It was true yesterday. It is true today. And by the, it'll be true tomorrow. Right? Doesn't change. It doesn't change. So what do I need to do? When I go to the Father and I say, Father, I don't have the power to do this. I don't have the power. Give me the power to what? Stay on this diet. And I'm not talking about silly dieting. I'm talking about dieting that can mean whether or not you live longer. Because you know you're unhealthy. But you've got a food addiction. God, give me power to stay on this diet. God, give me power to stay in this marriage because it's hell here. But I don't want to walk out on this. Give me power to stay at this job. Why? For my family's sake. But every day it's almost more than I can do. Give me power, Father, bottom line, to do what you want me to do, to run the race that you set in front of me in this broken world. This is what I'm supposed to do, but it is killing me. And I don't know if I can keep on doing this. I cannot do it on my own. And you know what God says? God says, finally, finally, I have heard out of you what I've wanted to hear. The truth in your outline, God gives grace only to the humble. It's the only one he gives grace to. And you know what the sign of humility is? Those who admit they need to change. God, there needs to be a change in my life, and I can't pull it off. I can't do this. I'm not enough for this job. I'm not enough for this marriage. I'm not enough to be what my wife needs or my husband needs. God, to be what my kids need. And I'm trying to control them, and I'm trying to control my job, and I can't do it. And all I'm doing is making everybody mad, and people are resentful toward me, and I'm just trying to make life better, but people don't like it. And I guess it's because they feel like I'm trying to be God in their life. And so I need to give up control of my life. I need to rest in the approval of God, and I need to accept the power of God. And then number four, I need to cast my problems on God by prayer. The physical image of this would be a rod and reel. I didn't bring one because I don't have one. Not that you're surprised at that. You probably can't imagine seeing me on the lake. I have been there. I have, and I've gone fishing before. I am not what you would call a fisherman. If they're not biting, I'm like, you know what? There's things I could do at home. My problem is I go fishing with people who don't think like that. And I'm like, I'm not coming with you anymore. You know why? Because you just like having a string in the water. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. If I'm not getting something, then let's move on. Okay? There's other things I can do with my life. But here's what God says. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know, when you got a rod and you're casting bait, you want it to go over there. Well, here's the thing. You've got the bait. It will never get over there until when you go like this, you release your thumb and let go so that that bait can go out, right? Otherwise, when you pull it back, the bait's going to come right back to you. Why? Because you never really let go. And so here's the truth. You don't cast your cares on God till you let go of them. You have to let go. You will never be less anxious until you let go. There has to be a time when you take your worry and you give it to God, and that means you've given it to God when you refuse to worry over it. That means you've given it to Him. And so the insight is, there are two circles in the life of every believer. There's a worry circle and there's a prayer circle. So here's the worry circle over here. Here's the prayer circle over here. Here's my question. What circle are you standing in? Which one are you in? And so if you're in the worry circle this morning, then God says, what I want you to do is I want you to come and I want you to get in the prayer circle. And I want you to take what is eating you up and I want you to give it to me. And so you just bow and you say, Father, I am worrying over this, and so I am casting it on you. I'm turning it over to you. And see, the issue is not reeling it back to yourself. You leave it out there. You cast it and you leave it. How do you know if you've reeled your problem back to you? You're worrying over it. If you're still worrying and fretting and anxious, that means you've got it. You haven't given it to Him. The sign that you have given it to God is that you have what four-letter word in your life? R-E-S-T. And if you don't have rest, that's because you have it. Does that make sense? You've got it, not God. But I want you to remember this. Sometimes God won't take it. He's like, nope, not doing it. Why? Here's the insight. 2 Corinthians 12 reveals the existence of sustaining grace. And sometimes God's plan is not to deliver me out of the problem, it is to deliver me through it, because there's somebody in the frame of my life circle that God says, I want them to see you walk with me through this problem that will not change. You say, well, Lord, how am I supposed to deal with this? He said, I will give you what? Grace. I'll give you grace. You will have strength to do what you don't think you can do on your own, and you can't. But I will give you what you need. Which brings me then to my last thing. I am living by grace if I excel in giving grace. And this would be, if I could have an image, it would be the image of a beautiful wrapped gift. Of course, we're thinking about Christmas already. Hobby Lobby's been in Christmas mode since July. I'm wearing Bermuda shorts and I see Christmas trees. I'm like, this is nuts. This is crazy. And so, if I want to overcome anxiety in my life, now listen, if you want to overcome anxiety in your life, you need to be a grace giver. Here's the truth. If you expect perfection from others, you will always be stressed. I and you live in a world of imperfect people. Do you agree with that? You married an imperfect person. You produced imperfect people. You work with them. And you are one. And the most gracious thing you can do is to give grace. Just, well, God love them. They can't help it. You can't either, but we won't talk about that. And so you just, I'm gonna give grace. I'm gonna let some stuff slide. Why? Because there's going to be some time in my life, if not already, that I need the people who live around me, I need them to let stuff slide. Because I'm broken. Everything I have in my life is by grace. The air I breathe, there's nobody in this room that is self-made. Now, I did not say you have not worked hard at what you've become and what you've achieved. I did not say that. We can't get anywhere without working hard. Would you agree with that? You got to work. You got to work at it. But who gave us the ability to do it? Right? Who gave us the health to do what we are able to do? He did. Who protected the work of our hands so that it lasted? He did. And just as easily as God blesses the labor of my hands, God can withhold it. And if God ever takes his hand of blessing off your life, there's nothing you can do to make life work. You can't. Why? It's a broken world. It's broken. And the only reason it works for you is because of him. Amen. That's what the word says. That's the message today. So here's what I want us to do. Stacy's going to come, or somebody's going to come. Becky, please. I'm sorry. Yes. We're gonna play. Becky's going to play Amazing Grace. All right? And I want us to stand. Would you please? And this morning, you know, I couldn't hardly keep myself composed during the choir number, My Anchor Holds, simply because I realize so much and afresh that I am what I am because of him. And I just, do you understand that? That you are what you are. You've been able to achieve what you've been able to achieve because of him. And God has been good. The only reason we've been able to do everything we've been able to do on the hill. Do you remember, do you realize we are debt free with everything that we've done? Because there's a God in heaven who has prospered all of you to be able to give. And what God has prospered you with has been enough to take care of what he wants to do here. A $6.5 million building doesn't scare me. As long as I know that building is what the Father's calling on us to do for this time. And if we please him, my father, he said, I own the cows on 1,000 hills. I can sell them anytime I want to. I can get money to you in ways you've never dreamed. I am able. And I will always pay for whatever I order. And that's how we live here on the hill. Would you agree with that? That's how we live. And so I want to ask you this morning, if it's in your heart, that you join me in the altar just to say, Father, I want to thank you for grace. I want to thank you that it's because of you that I'm able to enjoy life. And I want to quit playing God. I want to quit trying to control the people I love and control life. And I want to turn it over to you. If that's your heart, I just want you to come this morning. I don't know how God's touched you this morning in the message. Would you just come and just stand out here at the front? This is like our time to come and just say thank you, Father, as we start this holiday season.